The Economic Development Budget Division for Monday, March 19th, 2007 will come to order. What we're going to do today, everybody, is when we roll out these bills, we're going to do the, we have two bills in front of you, as you all know. One is a ongoing funding bill, and the other one is a one-time appropriation bill. And we're going to start with the ongoing bill. And what I'm going to do here, just to make sure we get it right, is I'm going to let Mr. Jensen explain it. And then we'll, if there's any amendments or if there's any questions, we'll go from there. So, Mr. Jensen, go ahead and take it away.
Mr. Chairman, members, the bill also has a spreadsheet. I think that's in your package. We tried to organize it so that the bill in the spreadsheet lists the items the same way. There may be an exception or two. On page one of the bill, you can see the totals that are appropriated from all the funds, $398 million. The first department is Employment and Economic Development. On page two, on line nine, there's $250,000 from the General Fund for the Rural Policy Center. That's a $100,000 increase. If you look on the spreadsheet there on line 10, you'll see the $100,000 increase. On line 32 is the base amount for the MEDA, the Metropolitan Economic Development Association. Page 3 is the increase for the Women Ventures on line 3. On line 11 of the worksheet on the left side. Line 7 is a base item that's been repeated. Line 27 is $85,000 for the Inventors Congress. That's an increase of $25,000. And if you're following on a spreadsheet, that's line 12. And line 31 is the governor's recommendation, which is being adopted. Page 4 starts the program for workforce development. $6,785,000 is a base number. Line 14, the base there is $305,000, and the increase is $150,000. And on the spreadsheet, that's line 27. Line 19, the $875,000 is a base, and they're adding $500,000 each year for the Opportunities Industrialization Centers. That's a change from Friday's number. It went up by $250,000. On line 25 is the base number, and then there's an increase there of $100,000 for LifeTrack Resources. Page 5 is $300,000 for the Northern Connections Pilot Workforce Project. That's all new general fund money. Their base was $250,000. It's being continued into the next budget years. $200,000 on line 8 is for the hired program. That's also a base item. Line 15 is $2,500,000 each year for the youth program. That's replacing some workforce development money that was appropriated in the current biennium. Line 19 is an increase for the youth bill program, $1,250,000, and it explains in the following paragraphs what the appropriation may be used for. Page 6 is the $1,250,000. That's a base item for the youth employment in Minneapolis. Of that amount, $250,000 is for the Learn to Earn summer youth program. Line 17 is an appropriation for the city of St. Paul of $500,000 each year for their summer youth employment. This does require the commission to establish criteria. It's a new appropriation for the city of St. Paul. Line 27 is continuation of the Boys and Girls Clubs appropriation. It was raised from $1 million to $1,000,005 and is from the general fund. Page 7, there's a base numbers for the persons with severe disabilities. On line 12, there's a $1 million increase each year for the 8 centers for independent living. Line 18 is a direction that was explained in the biennial budget to seek federal funds for matching for the SILs. On the bottom of page 7 is base appropriations for RISE Incorporated. Line 8 is a new program of $250 each year for interpreters for people who are deaf and hard of hearing, and it's an employment program. Line 17 is base numbers. Line 25 is the budget for the Blind Services Division. Line 28 is a base amount. Line 34 is the money for the Advocating Change Together, and that's a base amount. On page 9, line 6, that's a new appropriation for local labor market information. Some of the federal money was being decreased, so we're funding that project. Line 10 through 20 is a base item that's been in the budget for a number of years. For line 22 is kind of base language that requires $4 million to be matched, and if they match more than that, they'll make another $1 million appropriated to Explore Minnesota. That's the current language for this biennium. On line, page 10, line 27, the base is $250,000, and this is an increase of $75,000 each year for the Minnesota Film and TV Board. Line 34 is money that's put into the budget. It's been the base for a number of years, but in the current biennium, that amount was cut out because of the budget shortfall. Page 11, the Commerce Department. These are pretty much just base appropriations, some from other funds like the Tank Cleanup Fund. Housing finance is, again, pretty much at the governor's recommendation when you consider the amounts that are in the one-time budget that you'll see later. Mr. Chairman, on page 12, we've made a change on line 3 through 14. We separated out the money for the Urban Indian Housing Program and for the Tribal Indian Housing Program back to a separate line item, and these are the amounts that were in the 03 budget amount. The rest, Mr. Chairman, are pretty much base items. Line 20, there's a increase there. Line 27, there's an increase that would show on your spreadsheet. Line 8 is page 13, line 9 is the base amount. Again, line 10 through 13 on page 14, again, is base language. Page 14, line 14 and 20, and kind of base numbers. Line 25, there was a small increase in capacity building grants, I think of $90,000 a year. Page 14 at the bottom is labor and industry. Page 15. There's an increase there for the Vinland Center. Of the base was $150,000, and it's increased to $200,000. On line 18, we accepted the governor's recommendation for the code consolidation. It saved us the general fund money And you'll see later on, there's a transfer from the code consolidation to equal the loss of revenue to the general fund. On lines 21 through 34, those are base numbers that we've had before. Chairman, on line 16, lines 3 through 11 are just kind of the standard language, and on 12, we increased that amount from $100,000 to $150,000. For the Workers' Comp Court of Appeals, there was an increase, but that's just for their salary adjustment. Section 10 for the Historical Society, there's $500,000 each year for their increased cost of operating the building, and that's added to their base. Mr. Chairman, on page 17, there's a small amount on line 5. The Military Museum, their base budget of $67,000 was doubled to $134,000. The language from 7 to 18 is common language for the Historical Society. Board of Arts, we took the governor's recommendation, and there was $1.5 million added each year, divided by the base allocation of the numbers. So there's about $3 million added to the Board of Arts. Mr. Chairman, on page 18 is the numbers that were in the governor's budget. We're recommending those increases, including the boxing $50,000 a year. Mr. Chairman, on line 11 through 14 is the transfer from the construction code fund to the general fund to hold the general fund harmless on the code consolidation proposal. 15 through 22, there's a balance in the meth lab cleanup revolving loan fund, and it will transfer $100,000 to the community wastewater treatment account. Mr. Chairman, on 18 and 19, most of the rest of the bill is the code consolidation. There's a couple of items. We've heard this proposal in this committee, and it's also in Senator Scheid's committee.
That's too bad.
What we did, we took all of the license increases, did not take the decreases. That's how we could transfer the money out of the construction code. Mr. Chairman, I won't go through each one of those changes. On page 31, line 15, I think that's the plumbing board that you heard in the Senate and Medicines Committee.
It's already in here.
43, line 20. When the housing advocates came before the committee, we talked about the need to codify an old law that was 10 years old, so that all this is just taking the old law and codifying it into the statute. Chairman, on page 45, section 41, it's on line 13 to 15. We've changed the security filing fees, but we eliminated the cap, and there's to be no refund of those security license and registration fees that are generally paid by out-of-state companies. Mr. Chairman, on line 16 through 21, all the repealers deal with the code consolidation, contractors recovery fund, some special revenue funds, boiler inspection funds and fees, the elevator part from within the Department of Administration. And Mr. Chairman, there's one other thing I should mention is the workforce development fee, and that's being extended. We It expires, or it goes down from 0.10 to 0.85 in January of 2008.
Right.
And in the bill, that's extended indefinitely.
And I think there's one other thing on page 22. There's some prevailing wage language that we've been working with the department on, and we've all agreed on that, and we've given them some enforcement duties and some ability to do that. So are there any questions or comments from the committee? Okay. Everybody loves the bill. That's great.
So are you taking amendments now, Mr. Chair?
I can take amendments. Sure. Here, I thought it was perfect, Senator Puglia.
Well, I'd like to offer the RDR 32 amendment.
Do we have that floating around somewhere? RDR 32.
Ongoing. Great. Okay. All right.
That's the other bill, right?
Well, Mr. Chair, the amendment came back as an ongoing one, so I didn't know what to do with it. I thought it was going to be one time, too, but...
Yes. The bill
is ongoing. When people have amendments, and it doesn't specifically say one time or ongoing, if they say it, we will write it down and get it in the right place.
Okay.
If it's, voted on, because there just isn't time.
Can we just change it on the amendment?
But we'll put it in the next bill. Okay.
That'd be fine.
Okay. All right. Any other amendments to the?
Pardon?
How can you leave? You want to do it?
Mr. Chair.
Okay, anybody who's got amendments that are one-time appropriations, they go to the next bill, not this bill. Okay,
gotcha.
But if yours isn't a one-time appropriation, then we got to put it on this one. What's your amendment, Senator?
Pertains to the new license at the racetrack in Northern Suburbs. They already got their licensing, but maybe Senator Scheid can explain. I think they want to... They've already got their license, but I think they want to accelerate their card club a little faster. Like Canterbury Park has a card club, but...
What's the amendment number, Mr. Senator?
RDR 31.
RDR 31.
I think Mr. Moore and...
Please?
Yes, it is.
Senator Scheid could probably give the committee a 1 or 2 minute...
Senator Scheid?
A couple of things out there.
RDR 0031.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen's right. It does refer to the new track in the northern suburbs. And this is some legislation we've worked on off and on over the last couple sessions. Okay. Let me tell you, I think the first section The new language on line 110, 111 are just technical. Line 122 and on has to do with an agreement that I think was made a couple of years ago between the folks at Canterbury and the people who are, opening the track in, it's now the city of Columbus, isn't it? It was Columbus Township. And this is an agreement having to do with sharing the Breeders' Fund revenue, purse set aside and Breeders' Fund revenue. So that's an agreement that they've had that will be of benefit to both entities. Then on page, I think actually there's also language on 133. It doesn't have a section number, unfortunately, but it must be section 3. Line 213 has to do with simulcasting. Right now, you can only simulcast the breed of horse that you race at your facility. This would allow the track. The new track is going to be standard breed only. The state law allows for the one thoroughbred track and one standard bred. So no laws were changed for them to get the license to have the second track. There are certain requirements. It has to be 20 miles away, I think, from the other track. And all of that, I realize there's new members on here, and I want to say this track is under construction, right? The groundbreaking has happened. So they will be doing only standard bred horses, and they would like to be able to simulcast thoroughbred as well as that. And so that would allow them to do that. Then section 4, which is really line 323, we'll call that section 4. Current law says that you may operate a card club, but you have to put in a season of racing before you open up the card club. We know, hindsight is 2020, we know that Canterbury needed that card club revenue to its success or to make it successful. And knowing that, I think that it makes sense that we allow this track the ability to have that card club on day one. That's not, I don't think, terribly controversial, because it is something they would be able to do after a year of racing. But we're trying to make it, we know they need to have this to support the economy of what they're doing, of their investments. So that's what that is about. And the last section on 423 is not something I've seen in the legislation that I introduced, but it has to do with the Commissioner of Deed analyzing the economic impact of the racetrack and card club. And I think that analysis is probably why we're doing this here, and I think it's a good idea. And that's the explanation.
Senator Corn.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Scheid, in this language parallels the card club revenue provision that's already in statute. Is that correct? Which talks about payment to the Breeders' Fund and so on?
Yes.
So I assume, Mr. Chairman, that would give it the nexus to this, to a finance division then, I assume. Is that the intent, Senator Scheid?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Okay.
I would
move the
amendment.
Senator Metzen moves the RDR 0031 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. Any other
Senator Metzen, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Any other amendments to this bill?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sparks.
I have the 0015 amendment.
Go ahead and start explaining.
Sure. Mr. Chair, this was a bill that I was the chief author of. It was heard both in the Commerce and Judiciary Committees. It deals with vehicle protection, clarifying how vehicle protection products sold with warranties will be treated in the marketplace. Examples of such products include alarm systems, body parts, marking products such as glass etching, satellite tracking system, and other similar anti-theft devices. The legislation provides that warranters of these products will register with the state, demonstrate the financial ability to cover their warranty obligations, and provide disclaimers and claim procedure information in the warranty agreements. If members need more detail, there are members in the audience that could certainly speak to the bill more than that, Mr. Chair.
Senator Cohen.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sparks, first I've seen this. So what is the finance nexus with this?
I could defer to counsel, but Department of Commerce, I believe there's a $250 fee that will be raised. Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Mr. Chair and Senator Cohen.
Okay.
So, any questions from the committee or comments? All right. Seeing none, Senator Sparks moves the RDR 0015 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. Any other amendments to this bill that we know of? Senator Koch.
I don't have an amendment, but if someone is from the Department of Labor is here, if they could maybe just do a brief. I know we're got a lot to get done here. But on Section 23, the private party civil actions section, I know that that's their language, and if someone is here.
Anybody from the Department of Labor here? I know I spoke with them, and they were okay with it.
They were okay. Well, they must, if they're not here, Mr. Chair, they must be fine with it.
I did speak with them in the last committee, and they said they were okay with it, so that's okay.
Section 23 and what?
It's the prevailing wage language.
They want to have
the ability to enforce.
I'm just trying to find the right what we're putting
page
it on.
22. Page 22. No, it's not an amendment. It's just page 22 of the ongoing.
It's a big bill.
John.
This one. We'll see. I'm trying to find the right package here. This is the one right here. Two.
Senator Koch, why don't you just comment on
this
that?
One?
Senator Koch, Mr. Chairman, I looked at this amendment language earlier, and my only comment is, frankly, really, the department really doesn't have an opinion one way or the other about this. We're not opposed to it. This is directed to counsel. My question, Mr. Chairman, is to you. Do these statute changes give the department enforcement power?
I thought I asked you to find that out.
I'm trying.
That's the intent. Okay, that's the intent. No,
Mr. Chairman, if you just give me a couple more minutes, I'll confirm.
All right, go ahead. You know, we can. Are there any other amendments to this? To this bill. Senator Dibble, you have one to the ongoing bill?
Yes, just policy statement. So.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
It's language contained on the 028 amendments. Do you want it passed around?
Okay.
And I hope you're not going to make me read it.
You want me to read it?
The
Are
poet.
There big words, honey?
If it's the poet laureate, you're reading it for
four letters.
For sure you're reading
it. For
sure. So, as it comes around, Mr. Chair, what I would move is I would move to delete lines 1 or 2 through 8 from the amendment, because we'll be putting the appropriation into the one-time bill.
Nice, thank you. Okay. And so you want to move is lines 1.9 through 1.37.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Hang on to this amendment, because the top part will be coming later.
All right. So you're just gonna move lines 1.9 through lines 1.37.
Yes, right? Mr. Chair.
And you want to just read like
I think we do have to have him read
1.18.
It's got to be on the.
I've done it on TV, so I suppose I could do it here.
Oh, now
I did not write this, by the way.
Okay, hang on, Senator Cohen. Senator Dibble?
The governor shall appoint a state poet laureate who shall serve for a four-year term Because this appointment will always be great, there's no need for the Senate to confirm. In appointing a poet for the public good and to ensure there's no unjust omission, the governor shall consider, if he would, thoughts of the Humanities Commission.
And the rest of it goes on like that, just so you know. So you know. Senator Cohen.
This is a regular slam poetry event, isn't it?
Senator Cohen.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator. So, and what's the finance connection of this section of the bill?
It's the deleted section at the top of the page.
Is this the quiz you gave Senator Sparks earlier? Mm-hmm.
And he answered it quite well. So.
It will be connected to the. We do need to establish and you know the existence of the poet laureate, and then we're going to be providing funding in the next bill for the Humanities Commission, partially for the administration of this.
Senator Cohen, council tells me we need to establish a gift account in this part here.
And Mr. Chairman, the Senator count. Dibble, I'm not unopposed as such.
Are you going to rhyme the next line?
No, but I know one of the national poet laureates, or somebody who was appointed for that year or two-year position, who's, I believe, from Massachusetts, but what happens if in a given year you don't have anybody in the state of Minnesota who would rise to that level?
Mr. Chair, there would be no poet laureate in that instance.
Okay.
Although I do not believe that a poet laureate, according to this language, a poet laureate can be poet laureate for longer than a given year.
It says four-year term.
Yeah, 4 years. Not,
but there aren't term limits.
No term limits.
No, it didn't yet. Rhyme. Not yet. But we'll get to that, too.
I'll nominate Senator Cohen to be our first poet laureate.
No, you wouldn't do that. Because I would be totally incompetent for the position.
All right, then I won't. Since the governor would have to pick you anyways. With the consultation of the Humanities Commission.
Oh, that would raise my concern.
I was going to say exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Okay. Have to be my
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I although I do appreciate the rhyming, I just wanted to point out that I don't know if it's appropriate for statutory language. Although I do appreciate it, I'm not going to say anything. I just wanted to point it out because you'll get me next year. when it's you do have it. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I took this language upon staff advice.
Which staff?
Well, you'll point it out to me next year in some committee that I didn't make.
Okay. Then Senator Dibble moves lines 1.9 through lines 1.37 to be incorporated into the SC 5505-2. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion is adopted. Okay. Now hang on to that one because hang on to the 0028 because Senator Dibble wants to move that later on for the other bill. Any other amendments?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. We can wait just a second.
Sorry. Looking on other side. Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I have a question for, not necessarily a question. I think we need to delete section 39, which is on page 43, having to do with homeless shelter emergency services grants. I think that might have gotten caught up in the conversations we had at the early part of session about whether all the housing items, whether they're appropriated to the Commissioner of Human Services or the Commissioner of Housing Finance Agency, would be coming through this committee, and it was established that the emergency shelter grants and the like would be appropriated to the Commissioner of Human Services and going through Senator Berglund's committee. So even though it says Commissioner means Commissioner of the Housing Finance Agency, mm-hmm. that those dollars actually flow through the Commissioner of Human Services. And I think actually it's important to establish some of these policy statements about that define the terms of these grants and emergency services standards. we probably need to actually have that policy, this policy established in Senator Berglund's bill. And I don't think there's any appropriation in the housing section for these emergency shelter services grants. So this policy probably isn't necessary in this bill.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. If you delete the section, then the language in the 1977 law would prevail, which is the ongoing language right now.
I'm sorry, say that again.
It's the ongoing language within the Human Services Department, and that's where the appropriation is.
Right, and I think this language will be resurrected in Senator Berglund's bill with the, you know, with the commissioner definition, of course, being changed. So I would move to delete Section 39.
If you're comfortable with that, I'm comfortable with that. Any discussion? Seeing none, Senator Dibble moves to delete Section 39. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion adopted.
To where? Here, not to here.
Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, then I have another amendment. It's actually a Senator Higgins bill, but I'll present it on her behalf. It's the 0029 amendment.
Is it funding?
What we're going to do, I think, if it's okay with you, Mr. Chair, similar to what Senator Dibble just did, we would strike the one-time money, but then we could at least get the language in this bill.
So what lines do you want to put in?
You would move to strike. Council can help me with this. Up to line 1.22.
Yes.
Is that correct, Council?
Mr. Chairman, members, that would be correct. On the page 1, line 1 through 21, you'd be considering for the one-time bill.
Does everybody understand that?
No. What piece of paper are we working from?
Yeah, we're working off reference number. We're working off the RDR 0029.
All right.
Okay, and what Senator Sparks wants to do is he wants to delete lines 1.3 through 1.21. Take out the funding for this bill and put in the policy into this bill.
That's correct.
Correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Baker.
And I believe that we have, and Cap, correct me if I'm wrong, that this is an amendment that technically corrects some things in that one.
Yeah. Mr. Chair and members, this is the Senator Higgins Senate File 828 Safe Patient Handling Bill, which we heard earlier this week. In committee, we adopted the A8 amendment, which is being passed out, and in the draft amendment that Senator Sparks has does not incorporate the amendments that the committee had passed. So this A8 will get the amendment in the correct form as the way the committee was when it passed out of committee and then was subsequently laid on the table on Wednesday. So this the A8 just gets the A29 in the correct form as amended by this committee on Wednesday.
Except there's an appropriation here. Do we take that out too?
Yes.
So Senator Sparks is moving to amend the 0029 amendment with the A8 amendment minus section 5. Okay?
Minus section 5.
Everybody understand that? Okay. All in favor of...
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Okay. So we've got the amendment in front of us.
The 0029 amendment.
Right. And that is absent the first section, the appropriation section. Is that correct?
We haven't officially done that yet, but we're going to... That's his intent. That's his intent to do
okay.
that.
Okay. And so Senator Sparks is incorporating subdivision 7 of the A8 amendment.
Or is he he's incorporating everything but section 5 of the A8 amendment. Is that correct?
But...
So in other words, he's not putting in the appropriation on the A8 amendment.
Okay, does this
enforcement language goes to?
Mr. Chairman, does that work then in terms of?
According to my committee administrator, it works. Does it work?
The council? Does
it appears to, I haven't had, I think that this will work. We can make it work. I know that this did go on and updated this language and everyone agreed to it, I believe. And it passed.
So
I think it's just updating what we did in committee on this and taking out the appropriation. And I think you know the changes like January and July, those were all agreed to even before they came to committee. So
okay, Mr. Chairman, Council, I understand that what's here works, but is it engrossed properly into the 029 amendment?
Mr. Chair, instead of probably not, but I can engross it properly after this. But no, the page and lines aren't going to be exactly engrossed, but I can do it because I've got it
okay.
back.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
then
what we're going to have to do is I'm not going to hold the bill up for that purpose, but we'll be passing a bill out that is not in proper form,
right.
and we'll need an amendment for the full committee to make sure that's the case.
Except, this one is going to be rewritten, right?
Yeah. Mr. Chair and members, the way that this bill, that we have two bills in front of us, and actually we have two documents in front of us. One is a one-time appropriations document, and one is an ongoing appropriations document. Both documents will be passed, that are passed by the committee, will then be sent to the revisor's office and drafted as a new bill and introduced to the Senate. So what if there are final corrections that need to be made, the committee may instruct staff to make corrections as necessary to get the bill in proper form in order for it to be introduced as soon as possible.
Does that work?
Chairman, I don't think it works.
So, Senator Cohen, would you rather that we leave this out and then you put it in your committee when you get the bill?
Either that or put it in, and then through amendment in the full committee we'll match the language. But I don't want if it's a question of, you know, technical language, but if it's going to require some significant reworking in terms mm-hmm. to engross properly, I think the way to do that is through an amendment in the full committee.
So your suggestion is to do the
Mr.
full
Chair.
Amendment here. And then in your committee, do the A8 amendment.
Council disagrees.
Well, no, because I think we have time to go down and engross it right now.
All right.
If there's time, that's perfect.
Do you think there's time?
Well,
it'll probably take 20 minutes.
What we can do is we can lay this, unless there's some more amendments for the ongoing bill.
No, Mr. Chair, and I apologize. And, Council, I understand that you're very busy, too. I was just trying to do this on Senator Higgins' behalf, but if it would make Senator Cohen feel more comfortable. And that's what we did have a different bill drafted, but we wanted to try to incorporate the four changes that were made in committee. We did hear this bill in Senator Metzen's committee and your committee, but that's fine.
Let's make it cleaner and have one proper amendment to your bill, and it'll make things less confusing in the full committee.
Mr. Chair, I would love to do that, and it is not. You are doing this on the fly also, so you don't have to apologize for anything.
All right, are there any other amendments to this bill?
Apologize.
There's no other amendments to this bill. So then what I'll do is let's lay this bill aside, and while counsel cleans up this last amendment, and then I will we'll take up the one-time appropriation bill, and we can let counsel run through this. This will go quickly as he runs through it, and then we have several amendments to put on this bill too. So I'll turn this over to Mr. Jensen, and you can go ahead and explain the one-time appropriation.
Mr. Chairman, members, you should have a document 5531-1, which is entitled Economic Development One-Time Appropriation. And you'll also have a one-page spreadsheet, should be with your documents and file. And again, we tried to list the bill in the way that they show on the spreadsheet, department and project or description of the project. So on page 1, you can see on lines 7 and 8 the total that's in the bill. It's all general fund money, $229,600,000. We have only appropriations in fiscal year 8. Some of the projects will be listed as one time with the ability to keep the money until it's expended. And on page 1, then, for employment and economic development, you can see on line 24, $146 million. This is separated into the business and community development. We have $4 million for the Minnesota Investment Fund program. On page 2, you can see the $2 million for the redevelopment grant program. $1 million for the Urban Initiative Program. We have a repayment to the Minnesota Minerals 21st Century Fund. This was money that's a loan, but it was taken back from the 21st Century Fund to balance the budget. On line 19 is $30 million for the research partnership with the University of Minnesota and the Mayo Foundation. This is an ongoing project for about 5 years where we, in the partnership, have now put in about $62 million. On line 32 is $2 million for the city of Worthington to develop a bioscience training and testing center. Page 3, line 6, is a grant for the Children's Discovery Museum in Grand Rapids for the operational expenses. Line 10 is the University Enterprise Laboratories money to help offset the high cost of what's called wet labs. It's very expensive lab space. Line 21 is a grant for the Walker Area Community Center to construct that. Line 31 is $1,000,002 for the BioBusiness Alliance of Minnesota. And the language for the BioScience Alliance continues on to page 4. On line 11, we have a small appropriation for the city of, or Lee Seward County, for cleaning up tornado damage in the county. 18, line 18 is $2 million for the Board of Directors at the Rural Policy Development Center. This is now located in St. Peter, Minnesota. The $2 million is part of their corpus that was borrowed to balance the budget a number of years ago. Line 26 is $4,500,000 for the Minority Business Retention. This is in the global market. For those that remember, this is the old Sears building on Lake Street. There's language there that splits that $4,500,000. Part of it goes to the Neighborhood Development Center. on page 5, line 14, is a grant to the Entrepreneur Fund in Duluth to help out finding and assisting through loans, assistance, technical assistance for our business training program. Line 31 is a grant to the Upper Sioux community to improve the water system. They already have over $1 million in hand. We want to use general fund money instead of bond money for that project. Page 6, line 9, is a new appropriation for the Nanotechnology Development Fund. And we established some language in section 16. Line 18 is to the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota, trying to develop an alliance with some of the communities that are close to the university and that are being run down. They would like to participate with the state and the city and the university in cleaning up and making those neighborhoods a little more livable. Line 27 is $12 million for the Greater Minnesota Business Development Loans. So that's in section 116J there. Line 32 is $1 million for Minnesota Technology. This is kind of a different approach. We're on line 34, directing the money to Small Business Growth Acceleration Program. Page 7, line 3 is a small grant to the city of Uppsala to develop a regional community center in the city.
Oh, I didn't know where it was located.
Line 9 on page 7 is a grant to Itasca County for the steel mill. You remember last session there was $12 million appropriated for this project, and it just continues the infrastructure of the county for a very large project that's close to becoming online. Line 23 is a program of workforce development. This is $2,000 for developing a process to research and help people with disabilities find employment. Page 8, line 5 is unemployment insurance claim for nonprofits and charter schools that go out of business and don't pay their unemployment insurance comp. On line 11 is a housing finance agency. Line 12, there's $20 million for affordable rental investment program. This was also a governor's recommendation, and the money is transferred to the Housing Development Fund. The language is kind of base language that we've used before. Page 9 on line 19 is $2 million for the rehabilitation costs to preserve public housing, that is to keep housing affordable for lower income earners. Again, this is language that has been used before with the $2 million. Mr. Chairman, on page 10 is a Historical Society appropriation to the Nicollet County Historical Society. And that's the renovation there, center exhibit gallery. It's close to the historic treaty site in St. Peter, which the State Historic Society manages. On line 12 is a grant to the Minnesota Film and TV Board for the Snowbait Program on line 5. This biennium, the appropriation was $1.7 million, so it's a little bit less. On line 17 is a small amount for the City of Ceylon to install lighting fixtures. And on line 23, a similar appropriation for the City of Chisholm for their ball fields. Line 31 is a grant to Hennepin County to work on the upper bluff of Fort Snelling to repair the roofs that are falling in, to seal up the windows and to keep people from entering old buildings there. Line 12 is part of the appropriation for the Ramsey County Regional Rail Authority. It's the Union Depot in St. Paul, which would schedule to become the hub for several lines coming into St. Paul. Line 23, there was an agreement reached to help fund the City of St. Paul debt on bond obligations for the convention center. A similar number is sort of there on line 29 for the City of Minneapolis. Their bonds also, to defease the bonds. Defease the bonds for the Target Center. You can see that on page 12, line 1. And, Mr. Chairman, line 3 on page 12 is the establishment of the Greater Minnesota Business Development Investment Fund. I believe that was the Senator Clark bill. And on line 16 of page 13, we talked about the new approach to small business growth acceleration. This is the implementing language. Page 14 continues that language. On line 32 of page 14, that's where the appropriation is from the general fund for the Lewis and Clark Water System. That's in very southwest Minnesota, with a very large project to pump water from the Missouri River system back into that corner of the county for usable water. Page 15, line 30 is also part of that. That appropriation will be from the general fund. Mr. Chairman, on page 16, lines 18 to 22, where we reduce the bond authorization for those two prior projects, and then that money would be available for reauthorization. Mr. Chairman, on line 23, page 16, is the language for the Nanotechnology Development Fund. You can see it's created in the state treasury, and it goes through the Department of Trade and Economic Development. And page 17 spells out more the use of the funds, the application, the award procedure. Page 18, line 17, deals with the gifts and donations to the fund, and the interest is credited to the fund on line 21 through 22. Line 26 was the University of Minnesota Minneapolis Area Alliance, where we were appropriation $750,000. And that moves on to page 19 and describes what neighborhoods are involved and what is attempting to be accomplished through this alliance. Mr. Chairman, that's basically the short bill.
Mr. Chairman, I was looking at the section that has the nanotech development fund and intended for training. And could you tell me, can anybody tell me, I know this is a policy question, but I'm not in that policy committee, where the training will take place? Will it be in our MNSQ system? Because they've been aching for it. They've been aching for it.
Mr. Chair, I'm Lynn Osterman. Senator Pariseau, your question regarding the nano training, I didn't hear all of it. I apologize.
I'm just trying to figure out, because I don't see the language here, about where that money will be spent. Will it be in our MNSQ system?
Oh, Mr. Chair and Senator, yes, a portion of it will be. The intention with that training is that it would allow interns from the sophomore, junior, and senior class in general to participate in experiences in small, medium, and large companies. And some of those companies will be located, and there'll be a relationship with MNSQ, the Dakota County Technical College, for instance. It will be included in that, as will be Augsburg, the St. Paul College, and then the University of Minnesota in particular, off the top of my head.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Ms. Osterman, because I know they've been talking about doing nanotech training for a long time at Tech College.
It'll be Dakota County.
Definitely. Thank you.
Ms. Osterman, we talked about this. You're okay with a 2-to-1 It's due to one private sector investment, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we are.
Because on line 18.2, we want to change the first one to two. So it would say a 2-to-1 private sector match. So Senator Parasol, could you move that, please?
Pardon me? I'm sorry.
You'll move that, right?
Oh, I'll move that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Adopted. Okay. Senator Saxhawk.
Mr. Chair, I have the RDR 0023 amendment.
RDR 0023 amendment. Senator Saxhawk, why don't you go ahead and explain it while we're passing it out.
Senator Olson has been called away for a couple other bills. I've told Mr. O'Rourke has the proper explanation.
I hope so.
Mr. Chair and members, I believe this is the Opportunities Industrial Centers.
Right.
Well, in our ongoing bill, the OICs last year, on our ongoing spreadsheet, it shows that we are giving them an increase of $250,000 a year for a total of $500,000.
Five and five.
We've upped it. I apologize. Five and five for a total of $1 million. During the last biennium, they received a one-time appropriation during that biennium. So we are still actually below the amount of money we are giving them is still actually below what they have been receiving over the last 2 years to operate. Because it was given to them as a one-time appropriation. This amendment by Senator Saxhawg will bring them up to and a little above their operating level that they have been at for the past 2 years. So that is the reason for the additional one-time money on top of the ongoing money that we are carrying for them in our other document.
Do we not have this amendment?
Mr. Chair,
mm-hmm.
This appropriation is $2 million. First year for the general fund.
One second. We don't seem to have the amendment here. Let's lay this aside, Senator Saxhawg. Senator Kubley, you have one?
Okay. I do, Mr. Chair.
Senator Kubley.
It's the RDR 0032 amendment. Pardon?
Senator Kubley.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment would be amended onto the one-time appropriations bill. I guess I'm not sure how to change that language, but it is a one-time appropriation. Lines 1.3 and 1.4.
I think that works because it just says the first year, so I think
okay.
That indicates a one-time.
And then, you know, should we add this as a one-time appropriation is available until expended, or?
Mr. Chairman, that's the general language that we have been using in the one-time bill.
So does he need to put it here, or is it already in there?
Mr. Chairman, we should just add it on here to say this is a one-time appropriation and is available until expended.
Okay, we'll incorporate that into the bill, into the amendment. This is a one-time appropriation, and it is available until expended. Any discussion on the 0032 amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, just, you know, this money would go to the regional development commissions that are in the state, and I believe one of them goes to an initiative fund to do some planning for transportation purposes for the regions of the state.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 0032 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
I have the 017 amendment. This amendment deals with the summer youth program, the Minnesota Conservation Corps, the and this committee is very familiar with the things that they do and the good work that they do. But what this amendment does is adds some money and stipends for to allow deaf students to get into the program. The executive director, Leonard Price, brought this to my attention, and there's children that would like to get into this program, but obviously they need interpreters and what have you, and I just think it's only fair to expand this a little bit and allow our deaf students to take advantage of this. And this asks for a $50,000 one-time money, and we'll see how it works. But I know there's a huge demand out there, and we'll see how it works, and then probably come back a year or two from now and see what we can do. But that's what this does. We think, some of us think that I've carried other legislation for the deaf community, and this is an expansion on some of the stuff I've been doing.
Case. Mr. Chairman, on line 9, there's an extra sentence there. We won't have an appropriation for fiscal year 9. So after the word May 1st, 2007, have a period and strike the rest of the language.
Mr. Chairman, that's what I meant to say, yeah.
Okay, Senator Metzen will incorporate that into his amendment. Any discussion on the 0017 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion is adopted. Any further discussion on the one-time?
Chairman, I have one more.
Senator Metzen.
I think it fits in somewhat with the St. Paul help we're going to give there. It's a 27 amendment. We've got a regional veterans memorial building and a combination of other city buildings in Ember Grove, but it serves a 3-4 city area. And quite frankly, it's a little like the St. Paul Minneapolis situation where they're really in deep trouble. They're talking about selling the building to private concern, and they just aren't making it work. And again, it's mainly a veterans building, and they owe about $7-8 million on it. And I was hoping if we could get about $2.2 million from a one-time shot here, it would really save that veterans building. And I'm sure Senator Paris knows where that's at, in Inver Grove Heights, next to the community college. And it's just in a dire straits out there, and I just don't want to. I don't know what the heck would happen if they sold it on the private market. So if we could get a little help here, just a one-time thing. We've done this before, and it's not just the city building. It's it's the Veterans Memorial Building, too. So that's what we're trying to do here. It's a small amount, and I'm in favor of helping St. Paul and Minneapolis, by the way.
As your former rep used to say, this is a long-standing tradition, at least in recent times.
That's what he said. It. I agree. Whatever it is.
In recent weeks, maybe.
In recent weeks. Is there any discussion on the 0027 amendment from Senator Metzen? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion adopted. Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, I have the 0019 amendment.
At the St. Louis County one? Mr. Ungaro, why don't you come to the table? Welcome, John. Just to give a quick explanation of this.
Mr. Chair, John Ungaro, Government Relations Director for St. Louis County. The purpose of this amendment is to try to salvage an abandoned rail line that was just recently abandoned by a Canadian National in West Duluth. This rail line serves the Port Authority of Duluth. Any oversized shipments that come into the Port of Duluth that have to be moved out by rail have to go over this rail line. And unfortunately, if we don't salvage it now, it's going to put a major crimp in the Port Authority of Duluth's immediate plans. And in the future, we're looking seriously at developing passenger rail service again between the Twin Ports and the Twin Cities. And this same 2-mile stretch of track would be a missing link if it's not salvaged, for the 150-mile corridor between the Twin Cities and the Twin Ports. What we're asking for with this appropriation is just enough money to allow us to purchase the rail corridor itself. We would like to have enough money to rehabilitate it as well, but for now we're just asking for the purchase of it and nothing more.
Is there any questions of the committee? Seeing none, Senator Sparks moves the 0019 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted.
Thank you.
Are there any further amendments to the one-time appropriation bill?
Senator
Olson's amendment arrived. Okay, Senator Sparks moves the. Did the 023 get passed out? Okay. All right. Senator Saxhog moves the 0023 amendment. Is there any comment, question, or discussion on the 0023 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. Well, it's passed. Are there any other amendments? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the first part of the 0028 amendment. Oh, excuse me. I move the 0034 amendment, excuse me. This one is in prose, not verse. So. That's the funding, Mr. Chair, for the Humanities Commission.
Okay, Senator Dibble, this is the funding to the prose amendment that we moved the language into the other one. Any discussion? This is the 0034 amendment that's being handed out now. It's $1 million for the Minnesota Humanities Commission. Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion is adopted. Anybody got an amendment?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I hope not.
Yeah.
There's a couple more yet. Yeah. Right. Oh. Good thing we stopped it at 234 before. What?
Is that it?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the 0026 amendment.
Senator Dibble.
Mr. Chair, this is kind of attached to or associated with the presentation that Senator Sharon made about you know what the need is going to be for our coming economy with the development of renewable energy technologies. And what this seeks to do is to appropriate $100,000 that would go to the Center for Rural Development in conjunction with one of our institutions of higher learning to be determined, to determine and make a report to the legislature about what sorts of skills we're going to need in the job force when we have to bring on a lot of these renewable energy technologies. This is a bill that got a fairly extensive presentation in Senator Metzen's division. The Center for Rural Development has agreed to take on the study, and a number of industry partners have also agreed to match the money. They're going to be providing technical expertise, in-kind contributions, as well as financial contributions. I believe there is some language about doing a match as well.
Is there any discussion on the 0026 amendment, Senator?
Mr. Chair, I'm kind of wondering with this isn't a little premature, when since we still don't have, we had a discussion in, was it an Environment Committee earlier, wasn't it? No, it was in Finance. I don't remember where it was. It was this morning.
Senator
I believe it was in Finance, yes, and we talked about the fact that some of those renewable energy prospects have not been determined to work. We don't know how they're going to work. Mm-hmm. We're doing some studies, but we don't have any answers. So I wondered how long we were going to spend money on things before we had an answer and therefore know where to move next, because I think we're moving faster than we have information on some of those cases.
Well,
so I'm thinking this could be a little premature.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we actually have fairly extensive renewable energy technologies coming online in residential setting and commercial building sector, as well as quite a bit of manufacturing that we hope to undertake in Minnesota, as well as we also have quite a bit of need for research and the like, and this covers the gamut. We would actually be catching up with the likes of Oregon Tech that has established a full-scale bachelor's program that has a variety of these programs and curricula online already. So I don't think it's premature to start establishing and planning for what the technical and professional proficiencies we're going to need in the workforce are going to be.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Dibble moves the 0026 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Nope.
Motion is adopted. any other amendments? Sounds like we have some things in the works here, so we're going to recess for about 10 minutes.
Well,
Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, are these other amendments to the one-time recommendations?
Two more.
You want to get two a committee.
Don't forget of an amendment. Let's do it.
Yes, especially since we're not going to appropriate any of that.
So, Mr. Chair, the 0043 amendment.
Surprise. Did your calculator burst?
Pardon?
You started smoking.
How about that?
Better dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have some folks here who can present on this as well. This is requesting $100,000 for the Metropolitan. Should knock out the D in that word, Metropolitan Economic Development Association, which is also known as MEDA, for the purpose of their core mission is working with minority business development in the metropolitan area, but this would also be used statewide to assist businesses in greater Minnesota for pursuing government contracts. We have some representatives from MEDA here if you'd like to hear from them.
And do you want someone to testify?
Sure, Mr. Chair.
Say your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Senator Dibble, and thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Yvonne Chang Ho, and it's spelled Yvonne. And then a double last name is Cheung, and then Ho. I'm the president and CEO of MEDA, and as Senator Dibble said, our mission is focused on working with entrepreneurs of color. We have a 36-year of history. We also operate the Procurement Technical Assistance Center that helps small businesses in the state and greater Minnesota to pursue government contracts. We're asking for an increase of $100,000, so altogether $255,000 a year to expand our capacity to help minority businesses to launch and grow their businesses, and also expand the capacity of the Procurement Technical Assistance Center to help businesses in greater Minnesota, specifically northeast and southwest region of the state, to pursue government contracts. And the return on investment is going to be in the job creation and retention in the state.
Senator Dibble, they have 155 in the base each year.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
And the witness just said 100,000 per year. I think your amendment just says for 1 year.
That's correct. Yeah.
So you want it this way, not the way she said it.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the 0043 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion adopted.
Is that for this one?
Do we have another one? This one. Senator Metzen?
I have the 030 amendment. Language
speak into the microphone, sir.
It deals with the Hennepin Carver Workforce Investment Board.
Yes.
And at Partners of the Progress Regional Skills Consortium, and Mr. Smarge is here if you wanted a 35-second explanation, but it was very powerful presentation in the full committee, and I guess I was kind of surprised it wasn't in our bill, but I don't know if you wanted to take I think we heard it here, too. Did we, Mr. Smarge? Did you? Okay. Would you give him a minute if you're waiting for something else?
Does anybody have any questions on it?
Unless you just want to do it.
Nobody has any questions.
Okay, let's all move
it. What we heard in your bill. Seeing no discussion, Senator Metzen moves the 0030 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted.
David? Where's that automobile one? That's it?
That never passed out of committee. We're going to take a 10-minute recess.
Yeah.
I hope that's it on the one time.
It's garbage.
Recycling. No, that's not mine. Maybe it is. I have mine here.
Oh, yeah, it's all my stuff.
All right, now what do we do?
Are you back?
Little nerve wracking.
Yeah, sorry, I thought that was
the same.
Yeah, no, you're great. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah.
That's the only thing that's in there that's not. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm curious. We haven't seen Rick Avina. I didn't see anything.
I want to get to the gym. That's what I would do. I go to the gym a lot. I mean, putting on some flats and walk a little bit.
Easy.
Well, you know what? We're going to Max.
About 235 right now, I think.
Is that the top of page 22?
Yeah.
It's the one we just
passed over. You want to do that?
So we basically just get rid of the size
of the areas.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's the spreadsheet. That's the department. Does that have an impact?
The Workforce Development Fund.
See, this little gallery.
Pardon me. Excuse me.
To speed in the jobs so we don't have to do it year to year.
Or I could run it low. Well, let's put it on this one.
Do we know what the fiscal impact of that is to the workforce development fund?
I'm voting against the one. I'll just let the other one go by.
Yep.
Dylan keeps loading up that one time. I'm voting
no. There's some decent stuff in there.
Wait.
Speak against. You speak against.
Oh, I'm not. Thanks,
Senator.
I'm
on the one quarter of it, those right there.
They on you.
No, we don't.
Just on the other minute.
We'd like to know.
We do?
Oh, you're in mind.
Yeah.
And then, like, kind of those 5 different.
I saw.
I'm going to go have a smoke.
You're right.
I think the ice cream vendor is still selling upstairs.
You counseled one deal, but it was for...
You could go downstairs. Every time they have an ice cream thing downstairs.
They do?
No, I don't know.
I don't think they do. I don't think the machines are frozen. They're all just chilled, aren't they?
For a year.
You could get some, like, nasty sandwich.
Don't want a nasty sandwich.
Want ice cream, baby.
God knows how long it's been in there turning around. Getting greener every day.
Everybody's got it.
Oh, you won't need a tetanus shot then. You need all that green. You want to taste test it?
And also, they
have to have some of the boards. I got it.
We got the 16.
But on this bill, first one,
it
brings up the other green.
It's fine.
We want to make it perfect.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Too much to sort out on the fly. We're trying to move little dollars and stuff. So, but as we go to finance,
I will.
All right. Yeah, well, I think we have, frankly, more work to do.
Well, for those of us who did the pictures today,
did you want to, like, witness it was $100,000 per year? You know what, Scott? Yes, it's okay.
I can go to lunch.
Because you don't have to...
What are we waiting for here?
I wondered about that in a minute.
Just a one-time appropriate.
Just grinding that stuff on upstairs.
No, we'll see. A friend of mine is...
Everybody gives away with their ideas.
It's always been there?
This is me.
That never seems to me.
You know, if this is in and it's not in,
probably a couple of stops, like in Memphis, and then some.
All right, what was the business? What was it called?
Yes, exactly.
How much money did they want?
I just thought you said that.
Bioscience business development, no. Biotech part, no, that's not it. Kubernetes, redevelopment grants.
And he was just trying to say that.
Greater Minnesota. Yeah,
what did he say?
And if it was in on Friday.
Well, if it was in on
Friday. They didn't,
I didn't know. Energy meeting.
Well, if it was,
Where is it?
How are you figuring
out?
This
is the economic development. You're going to know, but it's
well, that's not this way.
What is the money you're doing?
Oh, okay.
Scotty. I need to make this tool.
Well,
as he said, you can't do one each year, you need to do a number of two.
All right, well, let me talk to Cap. I mean,
did
I was told we could get one, so.
What?
So, But let me talk to Cap. Hold on a second.
I hope that's the impression that what?
Oh, really?
It was two people.
Questions, how?
Oh. Well, it happens sometimes.
No.
And that's for mine.
Well, I mean, that's great. Oh, did you come back to the table?
Well, the bed,
there's a bed. Really not.
Yeah.
This is a very good idea.
All right.
I get it. At some point, I gotta come to the end of the year.
Well, I don't know if Larry wants $620 million for the budget rules.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's in your office. I don't
know. Well, I'm gonna say something.
Bring it back. Otherwise, just give him a bunch of fuzz.
Right.
You just recessed for about 10 minutes.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Good job, David.
Huh.
That's his point.
That explainer.
Yeah, that was what I was.
Somebody else wants to.
Oh, we'll check.
Don't apologize for that one.
Never. That's okay. Things change over here.
Pardon me, Senator.
It's better.
I keep myself.
Here we go. Let's end this, Coke. You got a recording?
Okay, we're back. We'll come back to order. Senator Sparks, you have the funding that we were pulling out for the...
Yes, Mr. Chair, and this was for the Senator Higgins bill that we talked about earlier, and thanks to counsel, I think we have it. It was the RDR 0029 that was handed out earlier, and we would simply take lines 1.1 through 1.21, and counsel can correct me if I'm wrong, that would be the million-dollar one-time money to fund Senator Higgins' proposal.
And everybody understands this one, right? So what's the number again, Senator Sparks?
RDR 0029.
So Senator Sparks
only counsel? Lines 1.1 through 1.21.
That's the funding
that's
part.
All. Everything mm-hmm. else.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion adopted. Okay. I don't believe we have any more one-time funding amendments. Is that correct, Senator Cohen?
No, I thought
you had your hand up in the air. So then what we'll do with this one, the correct motion is we're going to move this one to finance? Not this one. Senator Cohen, this is the one you want to come to your committee, right?
But
you don't want it. But you don't want this reintroduced, do you? Or do you?
No.
You
want to
do
that?
Okay. No.
Okay,
so
one time.
So Senator Cohen moves that SC 5531-1, as amended, be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, let me just indicate to committee members, anybody else present, I recognize that this division has a lot of responsibility and some significant things that we can do for the state. The direction given to the Finance Committee is that the total target for one-time appropriations will be $384 million. Approximately somewhere $120 to $130 million of that figure, I'll request that the Finance Committee convey to the Capital Investment Committee. That leaves for the Finance Committee somewhere in the neighborhood of $260, $250 million. I'm not sure where the total figure is right now, but we started out with, in your recommendations, Mr. Chairman, a little under $230 million. We probably added, what, about $10, $15
million? Mr. Chairman, members, $8 million,
too. Okay. So approximately $237 million. I would expect that when the Finance Committee is done, and, Mr. Chairman, as you know, I'm going to spend a little bit of time with you in going through this, that we will have some significant one-time appropriations. There'll be a significant appropriation for clean water. That'll probably be the largest. We've talked about the 21st Century Minerals Fund. We've talked about housing. We've talked about proposed biotech partnership with Mayo, to a lesser extent, the University of Minnesota in Rochester. And so at the end of the day, my guess is one-time dollars coming out of this committee will probably be more like $115 million, would be my guess. Now, again, there'll be some significant one-time appropriations out of this division. But when we look at some of the other priorities and things we'll have to do, again, given this very limited target that the Finance Committee has been given for one-time money, it's going to be difficult. And so I don't want people, whether on the committee or in the room, to get their hopes up that a lot of these amendments will come to fruition.
Understood, Senator Cohen. Okay. Any other comments from committee members? Okay. Seeing none, Senator Cohen removes his motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, motion adopted. Okay. Now we'll revert back to the ongoing bill. Senator Metzen, I believe you have...
I have a couple of chairman members of the committee. A few days ago, we heard Senate file that from Deed. It's the Deed housekeeping bill, and there's one concern about some brownfields monies, but we got that all straightened
what
out.
What number are you looking at, Mr. Chairman?
052. 052. This passed about 2 hours ago unanimously out of the policy committee, and it's the Deed bill for the year, and it clarifies a little bit better than it has in the past, where the brownfield money is split 50-50, metro 50, outstate, and I would like to add this to the to your bill.
We just heard this in Senator Metzen's committee, and I asked it to be sent here, and he graciously did. And so, now that it's here, are there any comments by committee members or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the 0052 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. Senator Metzen, do you have another one?
Yeah. Again, about after 2 or 3 hours of hearings, 2 days worth, we had what they call a Packing House Workers Bill of Rights bill. We, quite frankly, watered it down a little more than I wanted to do it, but it just works with OSHA and
gives. What number is that one?
That's 049.
049, okay.
It says you have to post or talk to the employees in their native language about their employees' rights, if you will. Amongst things, you talk about the description of salary, description of the employee's position, description of leave policies, just kind of a, I think, kind of minimum of what you should be telling your employees to do. And we, like I said, I would have hoped for a little tougher. And it calls for the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to develop a strategy to provide adequate notice. And so we got, I think most of it's a study, but it's agreed upon anyway.
Okay. And Senator Metzen moves the CS-0049 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sparks.
Mr. Chair, I have the RDR-0036 amendment.
Go ahead.
This would be the bill that we talked about earlier, again, Senator Higgins' Safe Handling Act. We do need to, and I thank Council for doing this, we do on page 3 need to delete 3.28 on the appropriations section, as we did put that into the one-time bill, Mr. Chair.
Right. Okay. Mr. Chair, delete on page 3, lines 3.28 through 3.31.
Okay. Senator Sparks moves to delete lines 3.28 to lines 3.31 of the 0036 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion is adopted. And then Senator Sparks moves the 0036 amendment to be incorporated into the omnibus bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. Are there any? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, of the 0022 amendment.
0022 amendment?
RDR 0022.
Can somebody pass that out? 0022.
Mr. Chair, this has to do with dislocated workers. It's reinstating policy language that we had a few years ago that was deleted for reasons that escape me, but it reestablishes that a dislocated worker is a worker who has been terminated or has received a notice of termination of employment as a result of a plant closing or a substantial layoff at a plant, facility, or enterprise. I understand at the time this language was deleted. It was thought that board workers, plant workers, wouldn't be affected, and it turns out they were, and they didn't qualify for dislocated worker services. I don't think this comes in time to help them, but would help a similar situation in the future.
Okay. Any discussion on the 0022 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion is adopted. Are there any further amendments? Rich, you wanted to make a comment?
We did this.
I don't intend to open this up to discussion to the audience, but I will let you make this one comment on the one section of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Rich Forschler. I am an attorney and a lobbyist for the Investment Company Institute, which is the trade association for the mutual fund industry. I appreciate a chance to testify today about Section 41, which is some new language in the bill. Members, the mutual fund industry has become a very popular investment vehicle for Minnesotans and for Americans. It allows investors to pool their money, to hire professional management to invest the money for them, and then everyone who has invested in the fund shares in the profits or losses. One thing I wanted to make you aware of is that all of the expenses of operating a mutual fund, including filing fees and registration fees, are passed back to the individual investors. So in Minnesota, the mutual fund filing fees have risen dramatically as the popularity of these funds has increased. And many of your constituents use these funds to invest their savings for college, to invest their savings for retirements. Presently, in the last report from the Commerce Department, they estimated that annually the expense of administering the filings is about $600,000. And the collection, that's annually. And the collections are now up to about $32 million annually. I think it was about 4 or 6 years ago, former Senator Dave Johnson carried a bill which placed a $25 million cap on these fees. So the annual collections are limited to $25 million. Section 41 in the bill and some language prior to that would take off that cap, and the collections above $25 million would then also go into the general fund. This would result in about $32 million a year in collections against about $600,000 in costs of administering the fund. And I just want to make sure the committee is aware that that additional money is really money that is contributed by the investors in the funds. These fees in particular are a hardship for Minnesota-based funds. Ameriprise is a large company here in Minnesota that runs a number of mutual funds. And because they're Minnesota-based, they sell an awful lot, a disproportionate amount of their shares to Minnesota citizens, which then have to be registered here and fees have to be paid here. So there's also an aspect of the disproportionate burden that falls on Minnesota mutual fund companies. So I know it's getting late. I appreciate the opportunity to testify about this section. I should have mentioned, I forgot to mention, that the governor did propose increasing the cap from $25 to $25.6 million annually. But this Section 41 would take the cap off totally and result in all of the fees that are collected going to the general fund. Okay. Be happy to answer any questions, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Horsley. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, Senator Sparks then moves that the document numbered SC-550502 as amended be recommended for introduction as a bill on the Senate floor.
Mr. Chair.
Like, Senator Vanderbilt.
I'd like to request a roll call on the motion.
Well, okay. Roll call has been requested. I think you should ask Senator Ortman about that first, though. She doesn't really want you to do that.
Mr. Chair, I understand when I was in the E-12 committee doing a bill that you added an amendment that impacts a facility in my district. So
I don't know that's possible, but if you want a roll call, you can have one. But there's, you know, the people aren't here to vote on it, and it's kind of a moot point. I mean, we'll take the roll if you want us to, but I should tell you that Senator Ortman asked me about this and asked that we don't do a roll call, but if you still want to ask for one, that's fine with me.
Well, Mr. Chair, was the 031 amendment to the bill?
030, what was the 031? What was it?
What, Senator Metzen, the harness track.
Yeah, that was added to the bill, yes. Do you still want a roll call?
I do, Mr. Chair.
Roll call has been requested.
Senator Tomassoni?
Wait one second here for a second.
They need another Democrat or two?
Yeah. Jesus, he broke the door.
I think the door would get the worst of that one.
The door is saying, ow!
Take the roll.
Tomassoni?
Yes.
Sparks?
Aye.
Cohen? Dibble?
Yes.
Fishbach? Koch? Kubley?
What are we voting on?
Let's see, yes.
Yes. The whole bill?
The whole bill.
Yes.
Metzen.
Yes.
Olson. Ortman. Pariseau. Saxhog.
Yes.
Vandeveer.
No.
Motion, the motion is adopted 6-1. Okay, meeting adjourned.